Blog Talk Radio.
It'll be done to your honor and glory and informative. And we have a little insight what it was like and why and everything. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. We're going to be going over the chapter that discusses the condition of Noah's day before the flood. And Skip does a pretty good job in his chapter six. And I was doing some research on Henry Morris's book that Skip refers to. And I'd like to read some of that. But let's read Genesis chapter 6 first, at least halfway through it. Any comments about what Skip said or what said or read, or which y'all read, I should say, or on Genesis chapter 6? Okay, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart, at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God was kind of disgusted, and we're going to try and bring out why. And in this, and the first thing I'd like to go is Genesis 6, 1 and 2. It says down the sons of God, verse 2, saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Now, the sons of God, this phrase is used here in Genesis chapter 6, and then it's also used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, Genesis 2, 1, I'm sorry, not Genesis, Job 1, 6. And let's go there. Let's look at Job 1, 6. And see who these sons of God were. Job 1, verse 6. Skip brings out that there was about 1 billion people on earth when this happened. 1 billion. I think there's, 7 million on the earth now?
You mean 7 billion?
Yeah, 7 billion. 7 billion, right.
I don't know. I know that there's more than 7
million. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And back on the gravity, they're greatly among our young people.
Yes.
Besides adults, also our young
people. Right. Yeah, the adults haven't been a good example. Yeah, the children. Job 1:6, it says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Okay, so these weren't just your regular sons. I call myself a born-again Christian, so I'm a son of God. But not like this son of God. Ma'am?
Do you think that man meant that Adam was the son of God, but created by God in his image, but also when he sinned with flesh. You think that means that they came as the son of God, but also they came to sin, saints? What does that distinguish there?
Well, actually, look at Job 2:1. I'm going to show you another reference. In Job 2:1, it says, "And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." So this is not on Mount Ararat or anything else. This is in heaven, and this is before God. And so these sons of God are not like Adam. Now, we look, go to Job verse 28, I think. Yeah, 38, Job 38. There's another reference. And verse 7.
What's that?
Job 38, verse 7. And to make a long explanation short, they were angels. These were fallen angels. These were angels, and I'm going to read it, but these were angels that were fallen angels with Satan. A third of the angels fell, and some translations translate this angels in these three areas, in these few verses. And like you have in Genesis 18, when there were angels that came to rescue Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll see that in some references. So that's where we're going with this. And it says, like in verse 7 of Job 38, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Again, that's a reference to angels. And Satan influenced a third of the angels. And so we find here, going back to this printout that I gave y'all, the actual phrase Bene Elohim, Elohim is used three other times, all in very ancient book of Job. There is no doubt at all that in these passages, the meaning applies exclusively to angels. He surely meant to convey to his readers the idea that in the days of Noah, such an awful eruption of abnormality and wickedness burst forth on the earth that it could only be explained by demonically supernatural cause. A solution seems to consist in recognizing that the children were true human children of true human fathers and mothers, but that all were possessed and controlled by evil spirits. That is, these fallen angelic sons of God accomplished their purposes by something equivalent to demon possession, indwelling the bodies of human men, and then also taking or possessing the bodies of the women as well. The men whose bodies they possessed were evidently thereby made so attractive to the careless and rebellious women of the age that they could take over and use any of the women they chose. The seductive beauty of the women, probably enhanced by various artificial cosmetic and allurements developed by that time, was itself sufficient to induce men to constant obsession with sex, assuring a maximum rapidity of multiplication of the population. Thus, the sons of God controlled not only the men whose bodies they had acquired for their own exploitation, but also the women they took to themselves in their way, and then all the children they bore. These particular satanic angels, therefore, compounded their original sin in following Satan in his rebellion against God by now leaving their own habitation and keeping not their first estate. literally principality, going after strange flesh, as later did the Sodomites, in like manner. Now, let's go to Jude 6, and verses 6 and 7. Any questions or comments? Has anybody, well, being from New Orleans and raised in New Orleans and working in New Orleans and doing other things in New Orleans, I know one woman and her husband that were possessed, and they were possessed, and they did some spiritual things sexually, and they, you know, and she went into the, she knew the future and all this other stuff, and I was scared to be around her. But especially down in New Orleans. New Orleans is known for its ghost, its spiritual, and I don't mean the Holy Spirit. But I've given tours down there on Sunday night, and the fortune tellers are lined up in front of the St. Louis Cathedral. I just think, what a contrast, you know, between them. But New Orleans is known for its evil spirits or its ghosts, or whatever you want to say. And I believe it. I mean, I believe in spirit possession, evil spirits and possession. And here we see in Jude chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So we have the angels here.
What's strange flesh?
Homosexuality.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. They go beyond. You see, I'm not justifying this, okay, but some people will say, well, homosexuality is the same thing as adultery. I say, no, it's not. For a man to commit adultery with a woman or a woman to commit adultery with a man, we were created that way. We were not created for a man to go after another man. And so Adam did not have sex with his kids, his boys. For as we know, he's faithful to Eve. And I'm sure they had a lot of kids, but you're around for 900 years, you know. There's a few casual days in there somewhere. I think their bodies stayed in good shape longer, too. So there is a difference. It's a natural for a woman to be attracted to a man. I was joking with the girls yesterday. One guy came in and flirting with the girls, and Dawn was saying, "Oh yeah, you was flirting and all of that," and they were laughing and up, and it's normal, you know, nothing happened. It's just normal. Now, some guy came up to me and started flirting with me. I give him some Mardi Gras beads and say, "You're in the wrong place. You need to go down there. go to New Orleans." First, I tell him by Jesus. Okay. Any questions or comments? There's all kind of different. This is a very controversial passage, but what I've read, and it makes sense. And being from New Orleans, I've seen demon-possessed people, not just in New Orleans. When I was in Norfolk, I remember Doug and I were going knocking on doors, and we was in Robin Hood. Robbie used to live in Robin Hood. And we go door to door. And I walked by this girl, And she hissed at me, pretty girl. And she was kind of dressed up. She hissed at me, and I said, oh, my goodness. And so we had our Bibles, you know. We had the big Bibles so everybody could see. Yeah. And so we went upstairs, and we went knocked on the door, and it was a bachelor's party, or it was a party. And she was the entertainment for the party. Thank you. And so I said, well, no wonder she was hissing at me. And so, you know, and of course the guys that answered the door, oh, yeah, where you go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Where you go? I said, okay. And young sailors. And so I've been down on French Quarter on Bourbon Street giving tours. And I've had people come up to me and say, "Boy, he's the greatest tour guide around." He don't know. I've never seen the person before, you know. But there's the spiritual implication, and of course, there's a lot of people that want to go and see the voodoo and practice all of that. I believe and especially right now, I mean, I don't think it's like this, but there's another place that I think that is, there's demonic, there's a lot of demonic activity is in Washington, D.C. I think there's a lot of demonic people or demons have control there. And I think we'll go over that in a verse or two. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Enough of my horror stories. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And when I worked at the Home of Grace, we'd have guys come in. And we tell them, look, I said, look, you can't have the tarot cards. So I'd put them in a drawer. And then they'd leave the tarot cards, you know. So, hello, Miss Lou. How you doing, young man? Good morning.
This is OJ,
who's
like my nephew.
Hey, OJ. You going to stay? Right. Can you hear me, Miss Lou?
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. Let me
when I'm sitting next to you, I can barely hear you. Because you know you're projecting up.
Okay.
But that's okay. I'm here on
the line. I got a good memory, but it's short. What's your name again?
Miss O'Connor.
OJ. All right, come on over here. Sorry. Here, OJ. Take this. Would you please? Well, take that one, and I'll give Ms. Lou this one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we're,
I've been studying on it all week.
Well, no, I've got it on here. I got it on here.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, she's not smiling over there.
She's not smiling.
Who's that? The one thing I could like.
It happens, you know. Yep.
I've learned a lot from this, especially reading in a book.
Good, good. Well, I got a handout here, and we're in, where did I say go to? Second Peter chapter, yeah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4.
Okay.
You got a Bible, my friend, OJ? Is it OJ? I'm proud of myself. I can't remember. Let me get you one.
The time of study, Genesis chapter 6.
Demon possession, the spirits. Okay, ready? For if God spared not the angels that sinned, again, we're going back to chapter 2, verse 4. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4.
Okay.
All right. That's chapter 1. You got a
2 Peter.
Right, but go chapter 2 of 2 Peter. There's chapter 2.
Okay.
Yeah, very colorful Bible. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them that with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So we see here, this is a reference to the angels that were fallen before the flood. So it's the same. It's the same guys that we have in Genesis chapter 6. Now, let's go back to our reading and see what we got, where we're going. Okay. 2 Peter chapter, on our handout. We're here now. Right there. It should not be forgotten that there do exist principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, Ephesians 6, 12, and that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And I remember one preacher said that the devil's tail is a TV antenna. That convicts a lot of us. So, okay, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I think it is. 6. Ephesians 6. And verse 12. And this is a big... And that, this is when I think of Washington, D.C., or hubs of power on this world, in this world, that refers to this verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that, you know, I think of World War II. I think of Hitler. And I'm looking back. I think when I watch that stuff on TV, how in the world could people be be deceived, the whole country, you know? But I think it's coming again because of demon possession, demon influence. Right. In the Ukraine. And Putin's taking advantage of Yeah, our leadership, which we don't have any. Our lack of leadership. Okay, let's go back to the handout. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Yes, the first one. Go right to the front, all the way to the left. Found it, Ms. Lou? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120. So that, well, I'm going to read it since I got it here. Back to the handout. The particular prophecy was evidently given, perhaps through Methuselah, just 120 years before the coming of the flood. God has always been long-suffering, even under such awful conditions as prevailed in the days of Noah, though all had rejected him. He still granted 120 years to mankind in light of the bare possibility that at least some might come to repentance. Look at first, if you don't just sit where you're at, but look at 1 Peter 3:10, if you can look at there real quick. 1 Peter 3:10.
What was that one?
1 Peter 3:10.
Okay.
Now, what this is saying is, when God pronounced this and he saw all of these angels possessing these men and these women and they were having these children, he said, forget about it. And he gave them 120 years to repent, maybe some of them. That's what the author is saying. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and what in that verse?
10.
For he that will...
Give him 120 years.
2 Peter. 120 years.
Yesterday.
To what?
3:10.
2 Peter 3:10. Ma'am? 120 years to repent.
Yeah. That's a lot of time.
Yes, ma'am. Well.
120 years.
Yes, ma'am.
2 Peter 3:10.
Look, we don't even live that.
No, not now. But back then, they lived.
They did live.
Yeah, Methuselah 969, yeah. Adam 930. Were you here last week?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you get one?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have everything that you have. And I've been studying it,
too. I think it's 2 Peter.
This is.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all heard me wrong. I'm just kidding. I said 2 Peter 3:10. Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I think this is the one.
On the paper, it says 3:9.
Okay, no wonder. All right. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So here you've got 120 years before the flood, and it's about 1,500 years since creation. And so you got a lot of guys that were around. They know Adam. And so they know the before the fall and everything else. And so God's given another 120 years. I read some stuff on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I understand that when God came to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't a spur of the moment decision. This guy I've read or listened to was 450 years he gave Sodom and Gomorrah, or that kind of homosexuality and everything was going on for 450 years. And God just kept, and Lot was there, and they said, you know, he said, just Lot, and he was a preacher of righteousness. So Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. How effective his message was, that's another thing. But we find here that God is very long-suffering in his will. But look at verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 2. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And I don't think these people are going to have a clue when this takes place. They're going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus said it is. And it's going
to... He gave this way, way back there.
Yes, ma'am.
We live in this in a time. It's terrible.
Right. Right.
And we're totally blind.
Some are.
Don't pay any attention to it.
No. You can be frustrated, you know, and so about it, and that's all I can, and pray.
It's that, amazing to me that there was that kind of problems way back then.
Right. Well, you had Cain.
I mean, you know, even from the time I was a little girl, I was brought up. I'm sure some of you, too, were brought up against all, you know, the things. In a way, I was taught how to live
right. And
my behavior
mm-hmm.
and everything. And I mean...
Well, technology, I think, has contributed to this falling away and the wickedness that we see. The movies, the radio, the internet, all of that is...
It's always been around. We just didn't know
of it. Right. Right. And the demon influence, the wicked influence on all of these venues or media type. And then we've got now where the media is just demonic. They don't tell the news. They just tell their spin on it and what they want people to live and do. And so, yeah, it's – and there's – and you can see where I can relate to what happened in the days of Noah because of demon possession, the demon influence, and I'm saying God, you know.
Huh? Because of sin from the very beginning.
Right. And this country was founded. Well, you had the Great Awakening and everything. But the way that the media and our government is just is crooked, and they don't care about it. And I go back to the abortion issue. I was watching a little bit this morning, and that's murder. Mm-hmm. But there's such an acceptance of that because our government, the perverted, wicked government, and then you've got the colleges that agree with this and all of that, so that you wonder where in the world is common sense. And there's no common sense. And it has to do with God influencing a person to see how wicked it is. And that's the only hope. And so it was back here. There was a godly seed in Methuselah, and Lamech, and Enoch. Enoch, but God took Enoch out. You know, said, come on up. Don't hang out down here anymore. And then we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So there was that selection of grace that was given to some, but there was that convincing of those that did not believe, and the long suffering of God to try and convince them. But the longer it went on, the harder their hearts got, and the more they doubled down. And I can see that with our government. They're doubling down on wickedness. Hollywood's doubling down on wickedness. And like you said, it's getting worse and worse because our carnal nature has to be, it's never satisfied. It wants more. And things that were wicked 10 years ago are normal today, so the flesh has to be tantalized in a more wicked way to make it more, keep it interesting. And that's just the flesh. And so that's the way it is. So, you know, it's just like that taco commercial used to be. I bet you can't just eat one. No, you can't. No, you got to eat more and more. And so, and that's what sin is. You got to eat more and more. Okay. Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4. We're going to. Genesis 6:4. We're not going to even get through this, but that's okay. It's good information. And Jesus is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, okay? And what I'm seeing is how much we are like the days of Noah. Now, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and we already went over how that happened, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So this combination of demon-possessed men and women, and they produced some giants or some very, let's say, earthly talented people. And let's see what old Morris has to say about that. Back on this this thing right here, second page, right here. Let's go to handout. The second page on the handout. We're not going to go through all of this. It's my fault, but that's okay. One of the most amazing facts revealed by paleontology. Paleontology is the study of fossilized remains of creatures which inhabited the earth in a former age. Is that nearly all the modern animals were once represented by large ancestors. One thinks of the mammoths and the cave bears, the giant cockroaches and dragonflies, and huge reptiles like dinosaurs. Along with them are occasionally found giant human footprints, suggesting indeed that there were giants in the earth in those days. Not only in the Bible, but in numerous other ancient books are preserved traditions of giants. So I think humans have been downsized, like a lot of other things. The elephants aren't as big. A lot of things are extinct. I can't prove it, but I think the serpent that his species is gone, that tempted Adam and Eve. What were you telling me? The white crane is almost extinct?
It was.
Yes,
we saw that
thing. Mm-hmm. So, you see, everything that God created way back when, on day one, is not here. And the things that are here are not as big as they used to be. And so these children of these demon-possessed people, well, let me just read what he says. Okay. We're back reading here. One of the most days. And he says that there's ancient books that have talk about giants. Okay. The children of the union of demonically controlled men and women of this period are the ones said to have become the giants, the mighty men of old. The word in Hebrew is Nephilim and comes from the word Nephel. Means fall, though some commentators suggest that the word means those who fall upon, that is, attackers. The more natural and probable meaning is those who have fallen, probably a reference to the nature of their pseudo parents, the fallen angels. The name came also to mean giants and was applied later to the giants from Canaan. Geneticists today appear on the verge of breakthroughs which would permit exactly such genetic engineering as this sort of thing to be accomplished on a practical basis. The demonical combination of materialism and ungodliness of the Canaanic civilization in general, with the eruption of the serpent seed directly into large numbers of human race, then with the thrusting forth of hordes of the monstrous offspring of these unlawful unions, all led to conditions in the world which were finally intolerable even to a God of compassion and long-suffering. That's pretty convincing. And I don't know. Anybody know what's going on genetically? I mean, they're really unraveling the DNA, and they're really seeing. I watched this guy the other day saying that DNA in our cells is so complicated that it makes a computer look like an old ad machine or something. And they're just getting into the DNA. But these scientists, and all you need is a couple of scientists that are demon-possessed or not even just worldly or ungodly to start practicing. And I think there's already genetic engineering going on, right? They take certain sperm, and you can order a child according to what you want, the blue eyes and all this other stuff. And that's going to be coming commonplace, but it's going to be coming commonplace, then it's going to be all of a sudden God's going to come back. Jesus has come back and just wipe everything out. And we'll go into that next week where Jesus says it's going to be just like that. People get married and giving him marriage, and there's going to be building going on, industry going on, materialism going on. It's going to be just like, then all of a sudden, boom, it's going to be gone. And we're going to be with Jesus, just like it was in the days of Noah. So people's hearts are getting harder, but God will give you someone to talk to, whether you don't know who it is or not. You know, you just got to open up the door, just walk through it and talk to him. And the results are left with him. You just do your part. Many a times I've really been disgusted that some people hadn't gotten saved when years ago. But you don't know. You know? What was it? We had a Bible study at church in our house years ago. And one Christmas, this guy knocked on my door. I don't know how long ago, it was 10, 20 years? It's Lana's. Yeah. He used to beat walls in the bedroom and everything. He was an adopted. And he used to do all of that. And he came up and says, hey, I just want to tell you, look, it wasn't a waste. I'm a song leader now in Chalmette and all of that. So just tell somebody about the love of Christ and let the word of God just plant a seed or water it or whatever. God gives the increase.
Yeah, and then if you look at your own life, you'll
say, I'm wrong. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Now, the rest of this handout, read over it, a lot of verses, and it's talking about violence. And he goes into the different types of violence and he's got verses. It's really, the references are good, and it's a good explanation of what was going on when it was Noah's day. And then we'll
talk about that next week.
Ma'am.
You're going to talk about all that next week.
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to finish up this chapter with Skip. All right. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. And OJ. Is that right?
Yes.
Man, I'm so proud of myself. Glad you're with us, man. Okay. Father, I just ask now that that we understand how close it is and how much like it is when you judge the world Noah's day, and that people are no different they might be bigger or whatever, but if they're without you, they're going, they're living a life that is, well, it's sad and it's not going to end too well. And we just pray, Lord, that you give us opportunities to share your love, and not knowing that the results are up to you. And I pray for our services to follow, that you lead and guide in them, and have your will and way. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.